And I'm Dan Lovato. Brad is on vacation. He will return on Monday. Well, we've been talking about casinos over the last few days, as you know. East Windsor has been selected as the site for the proposed joint venture for a casino. Foxwoods Resort Casino and Mohegan Sun Casino collaborating, and now it must be approved by the state legislature. That said, we welcome to the program former Connecticut congressman, also ran for governor, and he is the author of the book, The Curse, Big Time Seduction of a Small New England Town, Robert H. Steele. Bob, welcome to Brad and Dan.
Hello, Dan. How are you? Glad to talk with you.
Well, it's great to have you on the program, our guest in the Touch Points Rehab Interview Chair. And Bob, let's start just with an overall view from your perspective, because you lived for a time next to these casinos down in southeastern Connecticut. Your just overall view on yet another casino for the state.
Well, you're right, I did. I lived for 21 years literally on the edge of the Mashantucket Pequot Reservation in Ledyard, and having been in Congress and then living there, I saw both the political machinations, so to speak, that led to the casinos, and then I saw their impact firsthand. So what is happening is, trying to combat this new almost $1 billion MGM casino in Springfield. The two casino tribes have asked the legislature to allow them to jointly open this $200 million to $300 million convenience casino targeted for East Windsor, and they've made the claim that it would provide hundreds of thousands of additional dollars to over time to the state of Connecticut and add jobs. Others, though, including the Connecticut Center for Economic Development at Economic Analysis at UConn and many others, have really challenged these numbers as ridiculous at a time when there is so much competition developing for casino dollars across the Northeast. And those who are concerned about this issue have created a coalition against casino expansion in Connecticut, and it's a remarkable coalition. It includes some 14 groups now, Connecticut Conference of the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church, the Connecticut League of Women Voters, the Connecticut Catholic Conference, the Family Institute of Connecticut, and I could go on down the list, but it is an unprecedented coalition that includes organizations that represent well over a million residents of Connecticut, and it's very, very concerned about this issue because it believes that both the economic and social costs of expanding casino gambling in Connecticut would far outweigh any benefits.
You know, Bob, whether it's the Tribal Nation or MGM Resorts International, do these groups do any market analysis? I mean, don't they think the market's going to be saturated with all these casinos?
Well, that's an excellent point. Not only they do an analysis, what they do is they do an analysis, they pay a researcher who works on casino issues to come up with and they use a standard model, economic model, to analyze what the benefits would be, what the amount of money going to the state would be, wherever the state may be, and the number of jobs that would be created. They do nothing when it comes to analyzing the economic costs, which would be very heavy, substantial, or the social costs. As a matter of fact, when the tribes testified back in March of last year before the Commerce Committee of the state legislature in Hartford, their chief spokesman even talked about the fact that they felt it was impossible to analyze the social costs, and hence they hadn't even tried to do it. But we know that those social costs are enormous because casinos create gambling addiction. Gambling addiction leads to bankruptcies, broken families, embezzlement, other types of crime. The National Council of Problem Gambling estimates that one in five gambling addicts attempt suicide, which is a rate higher than for any other addiction. There are serious economic costs. For example, where does anybody think all this money that goes to the casinos come from? It comes from the losses of Connecticut residents, which means they can't use that money that they've lost for other goods and services, whether they be for rent or savings or refrigerators or automobiles. So that comes right out of the economy. And all it does is spread the money around from one group, usually a poorer group, to a wealthier group, the casino owners. So these costs are huge, and nobody wants to talk about them. But we at the Coalition are doing exactly that.
Talking to former Connecticut Congressman Robert H. Steele. He's also author of the novel, and we're going to talk about his book in this half hour, the novel The Curse, Big Time Gambling Seduction of a Small New England Town, which is available for purchase. In fact, it was published a few months ago, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Bob, when you were living for 21 years next to these casinos in southeastern Connecticut, what did you see? What was the landscape like?
Well, it's done a number of things. It's first of all, it has led to a sharp increase in the number of Connecticut residents seeking treatment for gambling addiction. It was a major increase. Second of all, in southeastern Connecticut, but also all over Connecticut, there's been a steep increase in the number of arrests for embezzlement. Back in New London County in southeastern Connecticut, there are so many arrests for embezzlement that the New London Day, which is the largest paper there, of course, is called southeastern Connecticut the embezzlement capital of America. The number of arrests for embezzlement after the casinos opened actually went up by 400%, a rate of increase 10 times the national average. Nobody wants to talk about it. All they want to talk about is, oh, look at all this money the state gets, or look at the jobs that have been created. And as far as crime overall, there's a study that's pretty recent from the Western Connecticut State University that shows that despite a major decrease in serious crimes in Connecticut and across the nation, serious crimes actually rose in the 12 towns surrounding Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun after the casinos came in. So there is more and more evidence. There are more and more studies all the time on this issue. And what we're learning more and more is exactly what these costs are. For example, there's a new landmark report from the Institute for American Values, which is a nonpartisan think tank, a leading think tank in the United States, nonpartisan, independent. It published a major study recently. It said that today's local and regional casinos, like the one they want to build in East Windsor, for example, drain wealth from communities, weaken nearby businesses, hurt property values, and reduce civic participation, family stability, and other forms of social capital that are at the heart of a successful community. That's the kind of business.
Robert H. Steele talking about this move to add a third casino in Connecticut in East Windsor. Bob, the casinos will tell you, as you mentioned before, they're creating jobs, they're bringing a goodwill to the community. They'll talk about, for example, the old Norwich Hospital site, plans they have for that. What do you say for that?
Well, look, I think the plans for the old Norwich Hospital site are great. I have no problem with that. I think it's terrific. I think the economic development for Eastern Connecticut would be very positive. What we're talking about here is gambling and how the casinos actually suck money out of the community rather than put it in. You know, over half of Connecticut's casino revenue originally came from out-of-staters, from tourists, from visitors, who brought new money to Connecticut. But those customers have been declining, and a convenience casino, such as the one they want to build in East Windsor, is not going to bring them back. As a result, the jobs and the revenue that are produced by this proposed convenience casino would be funded overwhelmingly by the gambling losses of Connecticut residents, which, as I say, would merely redistribute existing money within the state, would not create any new wealth, would not create any new economic growth. In addition, the new casino would take jobs and revenue from the state's existing casinos, as well as local restaurants and entertainment businesses. You know, one of the things that's ironic is the fact that there is some support in southeastern Connecticut for building this casino in East Windsor. What it's going to do, it will cannibalize the two existing casinos. It will actually take jobs and revenue from those casinos. And by building a casino in East Windsor, does anybody really think that many people are going to stop off in East Windsor to gamble when 20 minutes away they've got a brand new $1 billion casino up in Springfield?
Our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair, Robert H. Steele, former Connecticut congressman, talking about casinos here in Connecticut. And Bob is the author of the book, The Curse, Big Time Gambling Seduction of a Small New England Town. Bob, talk a bit about the book.
Well, the book, as you said, Dan, is a novel. It's set against the factual background of what happened in eastern Connecticut with the arrival of the casinos. It's a story about a family, a Connecticut family, who is faced with the threat of a casino coming to their town. And this town has been around for a long time, as so many Connecticut towns have. And it's really a battle about the town's efforts on this old line Connecticut family's efforts to stop this casino from coming into their community. And I might say, when I conceived the idea for the book, which was a number of years ago, I had certainly no idea that this story that I wrote as a novel would be playing out in real life today in 2017 in East Windsor, Connecticut. So it's been quite a ride as far as the book is concerned. I've been on an author's tour of New England and New York on it, where the issue continues to be a big issue. And the book has drawn reviews from all over the country now, and I'm still on that author's tour.
How can people get a copy of the book?
Well, you know, the easiest place is just to go to Amazon, but a number of bookstores have it. Amazon has it both online and hard copy.
Now, as you mentioned, you're on this author's tour. You're going to other regions where this is a big topic of conversation, casinos, gambling. What do you hear in those other regions?
Well, what I hear, and I especially spent a great deal of time in Massachusetts in 2014, when there was actually a referendum on whether or not to abolish or continue with the new casino law that allows casinos in Massachusetts. And what I found is that there really is very, very little information and knowledge on the downside of casinos. The dialogue, the debate is almost totally controlled by the casinos, which are multi-billion dollar industry. For example, in Massachusetts, when they had this referendum, the casinos ran 4,000 television ads urging people to support casinos. The opponents ran no ads because they didn't have any money to do it, so they are dramatically overspent. But I will say, one of the most interesting things that has happened is in New Jersey, just in November. In New Jersey, which has had more experience with casinos than any other state in the Northeast, in New Jersey, in November, its residents voted 4-1, 80% to 20%, against the proposal to expand casino gambling beyond Atlantic City into North Jersey, which is very, very similar to, you know, what is happening here in Connecticut. And this vote, this overwhelming vote in New Jersey by people who have had all this experience with casinos really reflected the overwhelming view that casinos have become an economic and social dead end for New Jersey. And clearly they're becoming a dead end for Connecticut as well. And more gambling is not going to be a solution for the economic challenges that we face here in Connecticut.
Should the people of East Windsor get the chance to vote on this proposal?
Well, that's an excellent question. And the problem there is that the selectmen have decided that they know much more than the residents do, than the voters do. And they have decided that East Windsor is going to have a casino. And they haven't asked the opinion of the residents of East Windsor. And the selectmen have simply gone ahead and pushed this, tried to push this through. Interestingly, there is going to be a major meeting in East Windsor at East Windsor High School at 7 o'clock on Monday evening, this coming Monday evening, in which finally there's going to be an opportunity for the opponents to a casino coming to East Windsor to speak out and talk about what the costs, the social costs and the economic costs to the town of Windsor would be. You know, despite the casinos not wanting to talk about those costs, there actually have been many good studies done, and probably the best one, not on East Windsor specifically, but on casinos in general and their impact on communities. And the most reputable one is by economist Earl Grinnells, who's a senior economist for the Council on the President's Council of Economic Advisors. And he has calculated that the longer-term economic and social costs of bringing a casino into a new area, such as East Windsor, are actually 3-to-1. The costs outweigh the benefits by some 3-to-1. So these studies are being done. There is a bigger and bigger body of research and information on the impact, and we're going to share some of that in East Windsor on Monday evening.
So the coalition then is conducting this gathering on Monday night?
That's correct, but it's being organized by local East Windsor people.
Okay, very good. Our guest, former Connecticut Congressman Robert H. Steele, the name of his book, a novel, The Curse, Big Time Gambling Seduction of a Small New England Town. Bob, I told Brad Davis you were going to be on the program this morning. He said, you tell Bob I said hello, so I want to pass those greetings along to
you. Well, I appreciate it, and it's great to talk to you.
Well, great to chat with you as well, and we'll talk again down the road. Thanks, Bob. You have a good day.
Thanks, Dan.